Welcome. It is 5:39 as we jump back into the program. You know, it's amazing in today's technology how exact sports can be. We talked about in the Olympics, there was, I think it was you that brought it up, Tom, that there was some skiing event that was decided by, what, one or two hundredths of a second?
Well,
they'd all
what,
fallen over the thing?
Yeah, there was that one. There was also a tie. A tie for one of the medals in one of the skiing events. That's how close they can.
It's absolutely amazing. And then in NASCAR over the weekend, it was proven amazing how exact things are. Dale Earnhardt Jr., he ran out of gas a half a lap before the end of the race.
Yeah, and what made that interesting is that the crew chief for Earnhardt Jr. called it basically 80 miles before it happened, said, you know, we did the math and we might have enough gas to get to the end, but if we do run out, it's probably going to be about a half a lap short. And he was exactly right. That kind of math is incredible.
Well, and it just goes to show you, they know exactly, and you would think that with all the variables, like, you know, whether or not he gets tapped, how much drafting is available.
If there are caution flags, they have to slow down.
Yeah, and that's why he was saying we might have enough.
Yeah.
We might have enough, but to be able to nail it right on the head, half a lap in, we're gonna run out of fuel. Which makes me wonder, you know, in my car, when it says, bing, you have 30 miles before you run out of fuel.
Oh, your car tells you.
Yeah, well, it doesn't bing at me, but I've got a display that comes up.
That tells you how many miles you have left?
Yeah, and it says you got 30 miles, but see, at that point, you start getting tense.
Have you ever run out of gas?
Yeah, actually, I was on a date.
You felt dumb?
Yeah, kind of.
You intentionally ran out of
gas
on a date.
No, it was one of those things where I...
Look, honey, we're stuck in the middle of nowhere. I guess we're going to be here all night.
I wish I had a story like that. I had borrowed a friend's car. Mine was being worked on. He said, you know, I'm not going here to take my car. So I borrowed his car.
Honey, there happens to be an air mattress. Look how neatly it fits in the flatbed of this truck.
He just happened to loan me his old 1975 Chevy van conversion that had the, you know, the artwork and the shag carpeting and the waterbed in back. How did that happen? Now, I dropped off my date. We had gone to dinner and a movie. And I was on my way home, and the fuel light came on. And I thought, I got plenty enough to get back. You know, I'll fill it up in the morning. It was very late. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning. And then it started flashing. I thought, oh, that's not good. That can't be good. And it started chugging. I'm like, and I kid you not, I said, God, please just get me to a gas station.
So you were making deals with the Almighty.
No, I didn't say, if you get me to a gas station, I'll do this. I asked him to please get me to a gas station.
Uh-huh.
And this proves that God's got a great sense of humor.
He did, but it was closed.
Yep. I literally coasted up to the gas, to the pump, and the car died as I'm coasting up, and I went, oh, thank goodness.
Of course, this is the 70s, so you couldn't use your credit card to buy gas even when the place was closed.
Not in
back
the
then,
70s.
Like
it was like 10 years ago. It was like 15 years ago. And I say, I'm getting ready to celebrate for that. Yeah, it was like 15 years
ago.
Could
you use a credit card to buy gas on the pumps you were at?
Yes, back in my day, Tom, they didn't have to get out and pump the gas with a hand crank like when you were a kid.
Hey, back when they used to clean your windshield, check the oil.
Mm-hmm.
They used to come out and do all that stuff, man.
Gas was 9 cents a gallon.
They
had just discovered fuel. They just had the internal combustion engine had just come into its own back when you were dating.
You could cruise all night on a couple of bucks, man.
And here's what's great. I called my date. I said, hey, I hate to do this. I said, but I ran out of gas. And here's how cool she was. She went to a all-night Walmart or something like that. Bought a gas can, went to another gas station, filled it up, and came and rescued me.
She was upset that you didn't plan this ahead. That
you
went through all of this in order to get me out here at 2 o'clock in the morning?
You know, this would have been easier.
Yeah.
All right, so talk to me about this. The owner of the Detroit Lions, William Clay Ford, passed away.
Mm-hmm.
He died at the age of 88.
Yeah.
How is that going to affect the team? Could they suck anymore now?
Well, I mean, the family, you know, owns it, and so they'll just figure out the transition. But I think a lot of the decisions, if not being made by him, there were certainly strong suggestions that were made by him. So maybe, you know, the procurement of players and directions the team goes might change a little bit. But yeah, grandson of Henry Ford, right? Great grandson.
Yeah,
grandson?
I think so.
Grandson.
Yeah.
I think, yeah.
Okay. Now then, and then I know I'm skipping around all over the place. A friend of mine went to see the Detroit Tigers play the New York Mets spring training game down in Florida over the weekend. Didn't stay because he thought he had really good seats at the stadium where they play. It's called Joker Marchant Stadium, just outside of Lakeland. there's the stadium, and then there's what they call the berm. It's a hill outside of the fence.
A lot of people can
overlook it, but it's like 200 yards beyond third base.
Yeah.
Right. You're not really in the stadium.
No.
You're like on the grassy knoll.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. You're on the and
a lot of spring training parks have those.
A lot
areas.
Of baking. I mean, you can just you'll just burn to a crisp. But there's talk that the Detroit Tigers are the World Series hopefuls for this year.
Well, I think they're going to be the favorite in the American League. Yeah.
Really?
They're
already?
They're loaded.
You're doing the – everybody makes
well,
this assumption based on who's playing for.
Well, everybody, you know, makes, you know, their predictions. And,
isn't it a little early? We're just into spring training.
You look at the team that they're going to put on the field, and you look at the pitching staff they have, and you look at the division they're in. The Tigers are going to be pretty good.
All right.
Should be pretty good.
All right. You're
– It's interesting, too, you talk about the attendance at these games. It's all over the place. The Brewers and Cubs played a split squad game yesterday. They had a record attendance at the Cubs Stadium. 14,000 people
were
at the Brewers Cubs spring training game yesterday. And other spring training games you watch, and the park is half empty.
Yeah.
So it's a crapshoot as to whether or not if you're going to spring training, if you're going to fight to get a ticket and a seat, or if you're going to be able to sit wherever you want and enjoy the sunshine. But it sure looks nice. People in shorts. Slathering on the suntan oil, man.
Oh, yeah.
Palm trees swaying in the breeze.
He sent me a handful of pictures. Most of the people on the berm were, you know, bathing suits and just baking in the sun. It's like, I hate you.
I have a friend who goes to spring training every year in Florida. You know, you can go to Florida or Arizona.
Sure.
And last year, he sent me an email and said that spring training has been ruined over the years.
Why?
That now there are ticket scalpers, just like
especially for the big teams. Yeah.
That if you, so that spring training, you used to be able to get closer to the players and you'd see them around town and they'd be in their cars and whatever. And he says now it's just like regular season, only in smaller stadiums and warmer things.
That
the teams have made it another profit center, just like when you go to a big league ballpark.
Well, yeah, they have to. They have to. The economy of sports is such that they have to suck every penny out. It's a shame. It would be nice for it to be more of the family oriented, you know, less formal. But that's
That being said, you have a chance to take advantage of something like that again this weekend. The UW Stevens Point men's basketball team hosting the Sweet 16 down in Point. $8 to get in.
That's nice.
You're seeing top level college basketball. Right down the road. So
I've never been into college b-ball, but I'm willing to try.
I mean,
are you inviting me?
I went to the game Saturday night where they advanced.
Are
to
you
the
willing to take me? Are you, is that what you're saying? We'll all go down. All three of us go down and maybe grab some lunch and see a game. What you're saying?
You're going to force us to hang out after the show as well, man. You know, don't we spend enough time together?
Really? That's sweet. Okay. WSAU Wisconsin Morning News. We'll be right back.
Every morning, here's the place to be. It's a wild time, the entertainment's free. Heck, it don't cost nothing to listen. A little insanity on the radio.
Can't you see it?
You know you're gonna get a ton of laughs from this crazy show. Keep it on when traffic stop and go. It's a morning show party. With our cups, we got the caffeine buzz. Start the fun real early. We'll wake you up and prove we're nuts, cause there ain't no party like our big party, our morning party. Get your day started, our morning show party.
Wisconsin Morning News now. Rush Limbaugh at 11 on AM 550, FM 99.9 WSAU.